I think every single one of us want to have peace in our neighborhoods, peace with our neighbors. Sometimes it is hard to find, though. I am ashamed to tell you this story. But years back when my sons were little guys, they had a friend across the street with whom they had experienced a falling out. And where there was once get-togethers and playing together, there was now no interaction, sometimes even the occasional glare at my wife and I from their parents. So one hot August day, that family across the street had returned from a camping trip. I had seen them before they left with their pop-up camper, and then as they returned, unpacking all of their camping equipment. I did not pay it much attention until later, when I was getting ready to leave my home, I noticed at the end of my driveway, in front of my house, a pile of dead fish guts, fish heads, and fish tails, all lumped at the end of my driveway. Remember, this is a hot August day, and I was instantly fuming mad. So I did what any good Christian would do. I went and grabbed a scoop shovel out of my garage, scooped it all up, and put it right in the middle of his driveway across the street. Then I came home pretty satisfied with my response. And then I got a knock on my door a little later, and it was my neighbor across the street. And he wanted to know if I had dumped a pile of fish guts in the middle of his driveway. And I said, I sure did. And he said, why would you do that? And I said, because you dumped these fish guts right at the end of my driveway. And he said, I did no such thing. And I could tell he was telling the truth. And I said, you didn't? So I humbly went across the street, scooped up all of the dead fish nastiness, put them into a big black garbage bag, and went and threw it in a dumpster at our local park. Because I didn't want it in my trash can. I can say, needless to say, my actions did not help bring about peace. In fact, they helped peace be even more elusive. Of course, I know and you know that peace is a greater reality than simply the absence of conflict. No matter if there was a pile of dead fish or not, I really do not have a peace-filled neighborhood. And that has nothing to do with dead fish. You see, my neighbor right across the street ended up divorcing his wife and tearing apart that family. My neighbors right next door to us also divorced, and their brand new young family with a 2-year-old baby was broken up. A little farther down of our street, there's a neighbor who is older, whose health problems deteriorated to the point that he had to be placed into a nursing home, which was very traumatic. Another neighbor, an older woman, broke her back and walks our neighborhood on our street with her dog almost daily with a walker, and she's incredibly, incredibly lonely. And I don't imagine my neighborhood is much different than your neighborhood, because these kinds of struggles are going on all over every neighborhood. And we learn that peace is not the absence of conflict. I have learned that peace is the presence of God. Your house is never going to be peaceful until the Lord of your house is Yahweh Shalom. Open your Bibles to Judges chapter 6. That's where we meet this next name of the Lord. And I'm going to read a lengthier section of Scripture today because we need the context. We need the story that gave rise to this revelation of this name of God. So start reading with me, if you would, in Judges chapter 6. In the very first verse, we read these words. Again, the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord. And for 7 years he gave them into the hands of the Midianites. Because the power of Midian was so oppressive, the Israelites prepared shelters for themselves in mountain clefts, caves, and strongholds. Whenever the Israelites planted their crops, the Midianites, Amalekites, and other eastern peoples invaded the country. They camped on the land, ruined the crops all the way to Gaza, and did not spare a living thing for Israel, neither sheep, nor cattle, nor donkeys. They came up with their camels. They invaded the land to ravage it. They were like swarms of locusts, and it was impossible to count the men. Midian so impoverished the Israelites that they cried out to the Lord for help. When the Israelites cried to the Lord because of Midian, he sent them a prophet who said, "This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. I brought you up out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. I snatched you from the power of Egypt and from the hand of all your oppressors. I drove them from before you and gave you their land. I said to you, I am the Lord your God. Do not worship the gods of the Amorites in whose land you live. But you have not listened to me." The angel of the Lord came and sat down under the oak in Ophrah that belonged to Joash the Abiezrite, where his son Gideon was threshing wheat in a winepress to keep it from the Midianites. When the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." "But sir," Gideon replied, "if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? Where are all his wonders that our fathers told us about when they said, 'Did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt?' But now the Lord has abandoned us and put us into the hand of Midian." The Lord turned to him and said, "Go in the strength you have and save Israel out of Midian's hand. Am I not sending you?" "But Lord," Gideon asked, "how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my family." The Lord answered, "I will be with you, and I will strike down all the Midianites, or you will strike down all the Midianites together." Gideon replied, "If now I have found favor in your eyes, give me a sign that it is really you talking to me. Please do not go away until I come back and bring my offering and set it before you." And the Lord said, "I will wait until you return." Gideon went in, prepared a young goat and an ephah of flour, and he made bread without yeast. Putting the meat in a basket and its broth in a pot, he brought them out and offered them to him under the oak. The angel of God said to him, "Take the meat and the unleavened bread, place them on this rock, and pour out the broth." Gideon did so. With the tip of the staff that was in his hand, the angel of the Lord touched the meat and the unleavened bread. Fire flared from the rock, consuming the meat and the bread, and the angel of the Lord disappeared. When Gideon realized that it was the angel of the Lord, he exclaimed, "Ah, Yahweh Adonai, I have seen the angel of Yahweh face to face." But then Yahweh said to him, "Shalom. Do not be afraid. You are not going to die." So Gideon built an altar to Yahweh there and called it Yahweh Shalom. To this day, it stands in Ophrah of the Abiezrites. Israel was not finding the promised land to be a peaceful land. It had not proven to be a land of rest, but instead a land of oppression, a land of despair. I want us to start today by considering what they, the Israelites, said about this. But I also want us to think about what they really needed to hear. What they said is often what we say when our lives are lacking contentment and restfulness and peace. The first thing that the Israelites said was this, write it down. Life is not fair. Israel despaired because of the events that seemed unfair in the sense that they were beyond the control of the people. They didn't think it was fair. They weren't hurting anybody. They were not being oppressive. They were not invading anybody. They were minding their own business. They were working hard in their own fields, and events beyond their control were putting them in abject misery. They had no peace because their life was being disrupted. These Midianites and the peoples from the east would come whenever Israel had planted their crops, and they would just invade the country and take whatever they wanted and wipe the people out. And that will definitely take away your peace. Because life has a habit of getting invaded, doesn't it? There are all kinds of invasions that come into our lives that don't seem fair. I know of no one who gets married planning to get divorced, but sometimes divorces happen. Sometimes cancers are discovered. Sometimes jobs are terminated and children will run away. And the list can go on and on and on of unexpected things that invade our lives. And they don't seem fair, and you don't think that you deserve it, and you can't figure out why it's happening, but it sure does attack your peace. And not only was their life being disrupted, but their labor was being destroyed. They were working hard. They were not being lazy, but they had nothing to show for what they were doing. And I think some of you know exactly how that felt. Some of you have seen your dreams go up in smoke. He walked in and said, I love somebody else. I want a divorce. And you worked so hard on that marriage. The boss walked in and said, yeah, I got to let some of you guys go. I can't help it. So here's your pink slip. And you did a good job for that boss. You really worked hard trying to serve the Lord, and you get criticized, and you're told, you're not doing a good job. I think that every single one of us have had times where we felt that all of our efforts for good were just futile. Anytime that peace is dependent on all of the circumstances of life working out, peace is going to be elusive. The Israel said life isn't fair, but they also said this, God is not near. When the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, Gideon had this explanation of why their lives lacked peace. He said this in verse 13, if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? But now the Lord has abandoned us and put us into the hand of Midian. Israel interpreted their problems as evidence that God didn't care about them. Have you ever done that? Maybe you've been outside the halls of a courtroom. Maybe you've been in the waiting room outside of an ICU ward. And your life has been invaded, and God doesn't seem close at all, and you assume He just doesn't care. And so we allow events and we allow those feelings to rob us of our contentment. I'm not sure, though, that the feelings or the events are actually the real culprit, at least not in Israel's case. The truth is that underneath their lack of peace was sin. I hope you didn't miss the very first word of Judges chapter 6. It is the word again. Again, the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord. This cycle runs all throughout the book of Judges. They would do evil in God's eyes. They would be oppressed because of their evil. They would cry out to God for help. God would send a deliverer. He would ask them to return to Him. The deliverer would save them from their oppressors. And then again, they would go back to doing evil. The problem wasn't God abandoning Israel. The problem was Israel abandoning God. When you look in the book of Judges, you realize that they were supposed to conquer Canaan. They were supposed to drive out all of the enemies in that land. In fact, in Hebrews chapter 4, the rest that they should have had as they were in the land of Canaan is supposed to be typical of the rest that we are supposed to have in Jesus Christ and the rest that we will have when we are in heaven. But instead of driving all of those peoples out, they let many of those people stay in that land. And God knew they would do this. They began to worship all the little Elohims of Canaan. They traded the worship of the true Elohim, Yahweh, for the little Elohims of the people around them. They failed to trust Yahweh Jireh to provide. They instead offered sacrifices to little gods like Baal so they would have good crops. They failed to conquer in the name of Yahweh Nisi and march behind Him as their banner. They failed to trust Yahweh Rapha for their true healing. You see, the root cause and lack of peace that was typical of the time for them was absolutely spiritual in nature. And friends, it still is today. Lee Atwater was a former chairman of the Republican National Committee. He served in campaigns of Ronald Reagan, George H.W. Bush. He was a ruthless, hard-driving man. But it was discovered he had brain cancer. And he ended up dying from that in March of 1991. Before he died, after helping George H.W. Bush through a successful presidential campaign, he wrote these words. The 80s were about acquiring wealth, power, and prestige. I acquired more than most. What power I wouldn't trade for a little more time with my family. What price I would not pay for an evening with my friends. It took a deadly illness to put me eye to eye with that truth, but it is a truth a country caught up in its ruthless ambitions and moral decay can learn on my dime. I don't know who's going to lead us through the 90s, but whoever it is, they must be made to speak to this spiritual vacuum at the heart of American society, this tumor of our soul. I believe peace will always be elusive until that spiritual vacuum in our lives is filled. Let me tell you now what the Israelites needed to hear. What they needed to hear was that true peace is not the absence of conflict, but the presence of God. There was a contest a few years back for photographers to capture the best photographic representation of peace. And there were tons of entries. Most of the images that were submitted were images just like this one. A beautiful, peaceful, serene landscape image. But the image that was selected to win the contest was an image that you may have seen before. It was this one. It was of this unmovable lighthouse in the middle of a raging storm. Even as chaos swelled around this lighthouse, it stood as a beacon of peace. Peace in the midst of a turbulent world. Real peace is not from having trouble move far away. It is from having God near. It is the fruit that comes from being in the presence of God. I want you to notice something very important in our story. Gideon did not build his altar after the battle. Remember that. He didn't wait until after God had delivered them, or until after they had driven out all of the Midianites, or until after they had slaughtered the enemies, or until after the threat was removed. Before there was a battle, while they were still being oppressed in the midst of 135,000 Midianites in the land, he said, "I have been in the presence of God, and Yahweh is peace." And so in his time of great difficulty, in his time of great responsibility, in the occasions when you and I tend to lose our peace, and I don't know about you, but when times are the hardest, that's when I feel like I have the greatest responsibilities, my own peace can become shaky. And in that very moment, that's when Gideon said, "I found my peace." That's because he was in the presence of God. And I believe that runs all throughout our Bibles. The Bible says if you want to have peace, it is not having all of your trouble go away. What it is getting close to God. My father-in-law alluded to this as he prayed. This scripture from Paul, "Rejoice in the Lord always." I'll say it again, rejoice. "Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Don't be anxious about anything. But in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." And you say, analyze that, Mike. Dissect that. Explain it. Well, I can't. Paul says it transcends understanding. You cannot explain that. You can't take it apart and exposit it and put it back together. Paul says that God has a peace to give that is an absolute mystery. But when you have been in His presence, it can come. And I'll simply tell you from experience that Yahweh Shalom keeps His promises. I've been there and I've experienced it. And I've shared with you before about a hard season that my wife and I went through with our oldest son when he was rebelling. Life was very hard during those times. And I did not know what to do. I tried to fix it, but I couldn't. And while we were on a retreat for pastors and their wives in Michigan, I went to this little shack by the lake and I sat silently in this prayer shack and I prayed. And I poured my heart out to the Lord about the whole situation. And I felt God directing me about it. And friend, I had a peace that overcame me. It was almost like a warm blanket being placed on my body. I remember it clearly. It was literally like a physical impression. And the fear went away. And my heart that had been aching was calmed, and I had a transcendent peace. I want to give you some principles. Write this down. Yahweh Shalom must be your peace if your peace is to last. I think the reason that peace is elusive for so many is because the sources from which we attempt to derive peace are so fragile. Are you going to get your peace from your good health? Your health can go away like that. I can testify to it personally. Are you going to get your peace from your worldly possessions? I have friends who have lost their homes and all of their belongings in fire. And insurance, sure, it can take care of a lot of stuff, but you and I know insurance can't bring back baby books and wedding photos. Are you going to get your peace from your job? Are you going to get your peace from your family? All of these things, they're blessings. But every one of those things in life is fragile and temporary. And even your life is a mist. And I think one of the great delusions that Satan has sold us Americans particularly is that if we can just work things out, then life's going to be fair and we're going to be able to have peace. I remember hearing a story of a young couple that was thinking about going to the mission field, but before they left, the husband began to show the beginning signs of what the doctor said could be multiple sclerosis. And the doctor said, "Now you may live the rest of your life quite normally, or this might develop into full-fledged sclerosis and you could be paralyzed and stay in bed for the rest of your life or even die at an early age. We just don't know." And they weren't sure what they should do. There was an older missionary couple nearby, and they had them over for supper to talk to them about all of this. And this young couple kept saying, "The future is just so uncertain. We don't know what we should do. The future is just so uncertain." Finally, the older missionary said, "The future is uncertain for everybody. The difference is you know it, and most people don't." There's a lot of wisdom in that. You will never find peace waiting for life to be fair. Peace comes from waiting in the presence of Yahweh Shalom. So the Bible tells us in Psalm 29, verse 11, Yahweh gives strength to His people. Yahweh blesses His people with peace. In the book of Romans, Paul writes, verse 33, chapter 15, "The God of peace be with you all." That's one of many times where Paul refers to God as the God of peace. 2 Thessalonians 3:16. Now may the Lord of peace Himself give you peace at all times in every way. The Lord be with you all. You see, God's peace is for all times, not just the calm times, not just the tranquil times. And I'm not sure if that's been your experience. And if it hasn't, then we need to ask the question, why? Because God does not abandon His people. And if God is always with us, and if we seek His presence, then we can have peace. Why am I not having peace? Let me give you one possibility, and that is this. You must have peace with God to have the peace of God. It might be today that your life could be summarized by that one word, again. Think about it. Has your life history been anything like the story of Israel in the book of Judges? You've got a lot of big problems and you cry out to Jesus and you ask Him, "Oh Lord, deliver me." And the Lord answers. And as soon as life gets a little bit calm, you wander away again. Does again sum up your life? You see, underneath the absence of peace, we saw this with Gideon and the Israelites, was the presence of sin. And we will never have peace apart from the presence of God. And the problem is, how can we have peace if our sin has separated us from God? And what God had to do was He had to make access to His presence possible. Yahweh Shalom had to literally send a peace offering. Colossians chapter 1, verse 19 and 20, "For God was pleased to have all His fullness dwell in Jesus, and through Him to reconcile to Himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through His blood shed on the cross." Or again, in Romans chapter 5, verse 1, "Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." Maybe you have read the well-known book, Peace Child. Just out of curiosity, anybody read this book in this audience? You should put it on your list. This book was written by Don Richardson, and it recounts him moving to the Sawi people of Irian Jawa. After being there many months, his efforts to connect to them and share with them the gospel and their culture seemed totally frustrated. He could not figure out how to take the gospel story and communicate it in a way that the Sawi people could really grasp it. And then Don Richardson learned the custom of the peace child. Among the Sawi people, if a man wanted to make peace with his enemies, What he does is he takes his son and he sends his son to the village of his enemies. Now, that's a great risk, obviously. But by sending his son, those people would know how sincere this man was in his desire for peace. And if they would just touch the son, then there would be peace between the two. And that's how Don Richardson explained to these people the gospel of Jesus Christ. God has offered you peace by offering you himself, and that offer is good for all times. And my prayer for all of you today is that you will know this peace that passes all understanding. If you could be honest and admit, that's not my life. I mean, maybe there's been a few moments in my life where I've had some peace, but as a general rule, my life is not characterized by peace. You're tense. You are restless. If it wasn't for the occasional medicinal help, you couldn't even make it through most days. And if that is you, we need to ask some questions. And we need to take a stress test. We need to see if we can find out what it is that's robbing you of the peace that you want, the peace that Yahweh Shalom wants to give to you. So let me close by asking you three questions. First, have you made peace with God through Christ? If you are not a Christian, and if you have never publicly declared faith in Jesus Christ, if you are trying to live in this turbulent world without Jesus Christ, then you will never have peace. You have got to accept the offering of the peace child that Yahweh Shalom has sent to us. I think it's significant in Luke's Gospels that the very first word that Jesus spoke after the resurrection when he met with his disciples was, "Peace be with you." You see, because Jesus is alive, he is near us. And because we've accepted his death and his resurrection, then we believe that Jesus is always near us. We are always in his presence. And I don't believe that you can have lasting peace apart from a relationship with the Prince of Peace. Have you made peace with God through Christ? Second question. Are you worshiping any little Elohims? Let me tell you the problem with little Elohims. Aside from the fact that it is idolatry and it is sin, the problem with little Elohims is that they are susceptible to invasion. If you are trying to build your life on a little Elohim, and that little Elohim could be money, it could be career, it could be prestige, it could be power, it could be health, anything. If that is what you're trying to build your life on, then you need to know at any moment, any event could come and invade your life, and that little Elohim will topple as it is taken away from you. And maybe that's why before you can build an altar to Yahweh Shalom, you may need to go and tear down some altars that you have already erected. You need to say to God, you know, I've been chasing after these little petty gods, and I'm going to knock these altars down, and I'm going to erect an altar up to you, Yahweh Shalom. I'm going to seek your presence. Which leads me to the third question. Do you constantly seek the presence of the Lord? I think this is the question that hits most of us. Most of us here today are Christians. Most of us here today have placed our faith in Jesus Christ. Most of us love God. Even though we stumble, we're not trying to follow little Elohims. You're trying to follow the Lord. But you still lack that peace. And I think the reason why is because for many of us, we have settled for a shallow and sporadic communion with God. Paul said God is near. If you will present your requests, your thanksgivings, and your petitions, all of your heart's desires to him, then he will send you this mysterious, transcendent peace. And that's how it works. You cannot have the peace of God with a sporadic walk with Jesus. Some of you are having a good month in your walk with Jesus if you make it to church twice in a month. But you cannot find transcendent peace that way. That's not how it works. When the Bible says to pray without ceasing, it doesn't mean you get on your knees all day, close your eyes, bow your head. It means you are living every moment and you see something good and you're thanking the Lord and something touches your heart and you're asking the Lord about it. Something is wrong and you're confessing it to God and you're just always living, talking to God, always living, seeking His presence. And the Bible says if you live that way, God will give you peace. I love nature documentaries. My wife does not. But I do. And they've made a couple of these documentaries called Blue Planet. They're narrated by David Attenborough. He does a very good job at what he does. But in one of the episodes that I was watching of Blue Planet, there was this scene of a monstrous hurricane out in the open ocean. And its winds were causing these massive 20, 30-foot white-capped waves out in the middle. Just chaos. And the camera dove beneath the surface. Went down 25 feet. And there were fish swimming calmly, completely oblivious to the storm that was raging above them. It's a very simple principle. Where there is depth, there is peace. When we live on the surface with God, never really going deep with Him, just having a sporadic walk with Him, occasionally making it to church, only calling out to Him when we need something bad, then we're going to constantly be blown around by every storm that comes along. But when we seek that deep, constant presence of God, life is peaceful. Even as storms rage around us. That may be a mystery, but that is a reality anchored in Yahweh Shalom. Would you stand up? I want to pray over you. Yahweh Shalom. We need your peace. Some of us have been worshiping little gods. They need to be toppled. Help us today to recommit our hearts to you. Help us understand we need to go deep with you, Father. Help us seek you every moment of every day. And thank you for sending the Prince of Peace so that we can finally and truly know and live in your peace. In Jesus' name.